As private companies navigate the complexities of transformation, one question remains. How can leaders prioritize initiatives effectively to drive meaningful change? In this episode of the KPMG Privately Speaking podcast, KPMG partner and host Erica Whitmore and guest Michelle Kent, principal in the KPMG People and Change practice, explore this challenge and more.
Michelle, I'm so excited to have you back. You were on the podcast. I'm not exactly sure how long, but it's been probably too long. I'm so excited to have you back. And hopefully folks remember the podcast that we did, but just for making sure everybody's on the same page, why don't you give us just a couple minutes background on yourself?
All right. Well, thanks, Erica. It's great to be here by way of introduction and reminder. I help clients with the large multifunction transformations, the ones that are very difficult to get done. And I help clients think about how do they take people on that journey, because it's usually the people that need to work differently, adopt a new system, and really change what they're doing and how they're doing it in order to get those business outcomes. So what are the tactics around doing that? I work across industries, but most recently I've been focusing primarily on consumer and retail clients.
Well, and Michelle, just so the audience is aware, we're doing this live. So we don't have a practice session. And so I think that'll be great. I think that'll be a lot of fun. But one thing I wanted to ask you, Michelle, is if you're okay, I think a lot of our clients either have or are looking to do some kind of a merger or get acquired or do a sizable acquisition, right, in the coming, you name it, right, 18 to 24 months. And this is why I wanted to have you back, is because I do think that companies, at least a lot of, you know, my clients historically haven't focused enough on the people and really thinking about what are the cultures and how do you kind of, you know, decide, right, as a team, how to, like, you know, meld them together, right? And how do you think about the people aspect and the culture aspect, and what's a respectful way to do that, right? So I don't know if you're okay covering that, like, kind of as we go too. I think that would be very interesting to the audience.
Absolutely. I will say, as much as I like to focus on the people aspect, it's still with the business objectives in mind. And I think that's an important, because it's like, well, yeah, you can do all this stuff for people, but you kind of have to balance those two constantly. And I do think there's an effective way to do it, get those business outcomes. I also think if you don't focus on the people aspect, it's really hard to get those business outcomes. And I like to think of it as basically the last mile, right? And a lot of people stop at that last mile of making sure people really understand and know what they should be doing in that kind of future state organization, whatever that means, based on what you're trying to do.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, let's start with the topic that we did agree on, which is transformational change. So maybe share a little bit of, you know, what does that mean, right? And how do you see that play out both in, you know, larger companies, like you said, when you've got a lot of different departments that are trying to work together, as well as then how does that relate to maybe, you know, a high growth company that's maybe not quite as structurally, you know, organized?
Yeah, I think in the past, when you'd say transformational change, it's like, oh, we're going to do some big program where, you know, we're going to implement a new system and have new processes, or maybe we're going to do outsourcing and shared services. And these were kind of these discrete programs that had a start and an end. What's different now is there's usually 5 to 10 to 15 to 20 of those going on at a given time. And that's what's so challenging about transformational change, is you don't have the luxury of like, let me do this one thing and get it over with and get it done, and then we can focus on the next thing. It's all of these things. And then there's also going to be the next thing as well. And what's hard about it is like, well, the world around us is changing, kind of people's needs in that are changing and evolving. And so it's this constant management of what's the best thing to do for the business. What does that look like, right? And you're doing transformational change because you fundamentally need something different in the business But then it's like you, people need to work differently in order to achieve that. And that's what we mean by transformational change. And today we mean all of those things together at the same time.
Real transformation, like across multiple, sounds like multiple business objectives, to use your phrase from earlier. So tell me a little bit more about that. So what are you seeing companies go through? Like if we were to take a for an example, you know, what are the top five priorities that you're seeing executives face, and how are they kind of figuring that out?
I think what's hard is there, and I'll list some of the priorities, but it's that those priorities may ebb and flow and change. And so having that sort of constant dial on, right? I mean, you look at like what just happened with tariffs,
right?
You may, may have had your priorities and all of a sudden those are shifting, and you've got to see based on those priorities in light of whatever's happening.
Yeah.
Are those still priorities, or is it something else? But I mean, technology and what people are doing, and it varies across industries, but everybody's like, I got to do something with technology. It's just kind of what it is, right? Some of the companies that have been around longer are like, our technology is old and the foundation we have is not allowing us the things we need to do.
Yeah.
See other companies that are in growth and they're like, the systems we've got are not enabling and allowing us to grow, right? We can't scale with what we've got. So how technology plays out really varies organization to organization and industry to industry, but that's always there. And, you know, in a lot of cases, you've got users of technology or consumers of data, which is kind of the other one of like, what can we do with data? Data is an asset, and most organizations haven't really figured out how to use that as an asset. So they're trying to
figure out primary business. Right. But you're exactly right. Right. Like, and I hear you, right? Like if that's not their primary, this is what we do to generate revenue. How do you monetize? How do you treat that asset as such? And, you know, I don't know, mine it or what, however you want it. You have a better term than I do, but anyway.
Well, mine it or right. It's, but you know, sometimes it's like just getting clean data. And it's right, some data, right. And this is where AI starts to become useful. You've got data, the more AI can ingest in terms of information about you, what you want to do, how people are doing things, the more powerful AI can become. But again, you've got to harness that enough to be able to leverage it. So that's a big one.
All the while keeping everything secure, because I imagine cybersecurity and the privacy, you know, all of that, right, has to be one of the priorities, because it can't not be, right?
Exactly. And it's an interesting, you see organizations, they struggle with of, well, how much risk are we willing to take? And it's almost like if you go too far on that security stance, it really inhibits your ability to get things done and do innovative things and partner with different organizations. So it's a big struggle right now for a lot of organizations, because you've got this, you know, security organization that wants to really tighten things down, but that impacts the business's ability to do certain things. So yeah, definitely that. I mean, the customer consumer thing and where people are at and trends and, you know, consumer sentiment, I mean, that's people keeping up with that and trying to adjust accordingly, especially knowing what's happening in the geopolitical environment that we're facing right now. That I think is the hardest thing for organizations to continue to monitor and make sure their priorities make sense in light of whatever's happening and adjusting accordingly.
So,
like we've seen with tariffs.
So I'm gonna pick your brain. So if I'm a CFO or I'm a CEO of, you know, a company that is, let's just say, doesn't matter. I don't even know that this question will apply to an industry at all. So if I'm just a CEO and a CFO in an organization, let's say it's a consumer facing organization, how do I stay on top of all these things you just mentioned? And oh, by the way, to your point, I've got to upgrade my, you know, my ERP system, or I've got to update my, revenue, system. I'm not using the right phrase, but do you see what I'm saying? Like, what resources can I get to make sure that I'm staying where I need to stay and I'm seeing the risks and I'm seeing what's coming at me and yet still taking care of my priorities?
So it's interesting because, a lot of people, especially when you're functional oriented, you're like, oh, the technology or, finance, closing the books and making sure you're the finance. At the end of the day, you still like, what's your fundamental kind of business purpose and reason? And then you can translate back to, well, what actually matters from a technology standpoint, right? And so if you think about an organization in consumer and retail right now, costs are going up. It's a huge problem. So everybody's looking to reduce costs because that's how you're going to compete in the market. Yeah. You want to maintain your margins. And right. So then you start thinking about, well, should we do an ERP? Well, is it going to help us understand those costs right. in ways we haven't been able to and forecast better so that maybe we're not having so much inventory on hand? And so you don't do technology for technology's sake or these transformations for transformation's sake. You do it because you understand what the business needs and priorities are, but are they shifting, right? I mean, not that long ago, cost wasn't the most important thing. Literally just getting product and being able to get it, right? Supply chain issues. And so that's where it's like, what's shifting in the dynamics of the organization? And therefore, how does that translate into what the more immediate priorities are? That doesn't mean an ERP is on or off the table. Then you have to ask the question, hey, we've said this is really important. We've got to get it done at some point. How do we make sure it's helping us do the most important things? And if it's not, is that the highest priority thing to do? And what the conversation we're having with organizations is, maybe you can still get it done as long as it's not inhibiting you to get the most important things done. And if you've got 20 things going on and they're impacting the same organizations around the same time, chances are none of those are going to be successful because you're competing with everyone's time. And there's only so much capacity people have. And it's something I'm seeing a lot of organizations not necessarily do well of saying, no, let's hold back on this one so we can do this one and get it done. And it really is the priority. And those tough decisions, this is where I think a lot of leaders have to step up and make those tough calls.
I really like that, Michelle. So you know that I'm a big fan of IPOs. I love them. It's something that I think is very important to the broader market, even though we have less public companies than we ever have before. But when you think about a company that's getting ready to go public, just exactly like you just said, it a lot of times falls on the legal, the accounting, and the finance folks, right? And if you don't give the proper resources to that process and really understand all the swim lanes and how, they have a day job, right? To your very point, right? Like, so you can't just keep adding layers and layers and layers. Like, you have to prioritize. And I love that you are like, leaders have to step up, recognize it, and then do something about it, and then prioritize it. So maybe another question to you, when you see organizations that, whether it's an IPO or whether it's an ERP and a cybersecurity analysis, whatever those priorities are, how do you help companies think through that? Like the cost benefit analysis and all of that, like kind of walk me through how you help companies do that.
Well, each program usually has their kind of own cost benefit analysis, but the problem is every time you're doing one of these individual things, you're looking at it in a silo.
Yep.
And it's, I haven't found a lot of organizations who are doing it particularly well because every function's like, oh, I need to do this. Great, I got money, I'm going to do it. And then, oh, I'm going to do this.
Right.
It's not until you have someone in the organization or an executive team that says, we're going to put rigor in governance and we're going to look at all of these together on top of each other. So we're actually comparing them. We're looking at the timing and we're saying, are these in conflict? Is the timing of these overlapping in a way that we just can't consume it? And is there a better way to combine some of these to get it done better, smarter, faster, and make it more consumable for people? But it requires like executives to think beyond just their function and what they're trying to get done, which is hard, right? You've got sort of your remit, and you want to control what you can control, and that's where the people who do it well, they're working as an executive team and not just thinking in a siloed manner. And then the teams below them are doing the same thing, right? They're thinking about, yes, I'm doing this in finance, or yes, this is an IT thing, but it's impacting everyone else. Let me think about what we're trying to do in context of everything else going on.
So it's really about the executive team, and this may be small, this may be easier in smaller organizations or not, depending on how things are structured, right? But it's thinking about the broader organization, regardless of what hat you wear or what seat you sit in, right? So that's super helpful. So what else in terms of transformational change are you seeing, like across, industries? Like what are you seeing management teams maybe do well?
Yeah, when they bring that information together and look at it, it's suddenly much easier to be very empathetic. If you've got the data that says, wow, during this extremely high business as usual period, we're asking our organization to do these five other things, that might be too much. And I think that's the key of really understanding, not just managing by numbers, but really understanding what's happening, what you're asking of the organization. Because when you're doing transformational change, you're taking time away from business as usual. And that's a risk. That has business implications. And so you want to make sure that time, money, energy is spent in the right way, and that you're not asking people to do too much, because then you're basically throwing that time, money, and even employee trust away when you're asking too much. And to be fair, I don't think leaders are often given that information to be able to make those hard decisions or to have that degree of empathy. But that's the big thing I'm seeing, is like this genuine understanding of what it takes to be out there doing your job, and how hard that is when you've got all these other asks on top of it.
No, that makes a lot of sense. So you touched a little bit on AI. Maybe if I could bend your ear for just a few minutes on kind of what you're seeing, what does good look like? Well, we really thought that was going to be super helpful, and then it was not. Any examples that you can give us without saying any names, of course.
I think when you lead with AI, that's when you start to get in trouble, because then you're talking about a concept versus leading with, hey, we've got this business challenge, and it may be small, it may be enormous, but as soon as you start with that, then you can say, well, how could AI actually help us solve this and make it easier and better? And then all of a sudden, it becomes very practical, and then you think about adoption like much easier. And I think there's this maybe misunderstanding that you have to like go all in on AI. Well, a lot of the tools and technologies that people have already have a lot of AI built into it. You just got to think about how you can leverage it. Again, starting with, hey, what's the business challenge we've got? What exists maybe in some of the things we've already got to do that? And a great example, someone say in a warehouse who maybe English isn't their second language and they've got to develop goals. Well, I mean, shoot, it's hard for me to come up with really applicable goals every year. Imagine someone who, like, that's not their day-to-day. Where based on their job description and the role and level they're at, they can ask the question like, hey, I need a goal that's help me do my job better. And it'll help them craft a goal based on what their roles and responsibilities are so they can do their job. Well, think about how much stress relief for someone in the workout or warehouse, and they're actually going to have a better goal of like, oh yeah, that's what I'm going to do. It's very relevant to them. So, I mean, that's such a small use case, but gosh, if you got a warehouse worker who's hourly, you're saving them time, their experience is better. And oh, by the way, not a lot of effort on the company's front. So I think sometimes we try and start so big that we miss some of the easy things that are just challenges that are known challenges that we hadn't thought of before.
Well, and I love how, at least what I gathered from what you just said, is a lot of the tools that you're already using, systems and or tools, right, already have AI built into it. Maybe you're just not aware of all the functionality, right? So maybe it isn't the big, the big challenge. Not that you should ignore that, but maybe it's some of those smaller ones and seeing if you can leverage what's already at your fingertips without a whole lot of extra spend or thought, right?
Exactly. Well, what I love when companies do that, people start to learn what's possible. And then you can kind of move up the chain and be like, oh, we've got this big problem that maybe requires a lot more thinking around, but you've got enough use cases under your belt to be like, well, similar to this and similar to that, could we solve it? And then it goes back to, do you have the data to do it?
Yeah, absolutely. I have a friend who I think she has, I don't know, 3 to 5 different AI apps on her phone, and she just will ex she'll spend X amount of time per day just exploring on each of those. And it's really interesting to talk to her because she's learned, to your point, so much about, and that's just little things, right? And it's not a big time consuming thing, but now she thinks differently, right? And so thinking about the bigger problems, I think she's better equipped because she has it actually, I think, helps you critically think better. You have to change up the prompts, and you know what I mean? It's super, super interesting, right? To kind of see that evolution take place, not just in the professional world, but the, your personal world as well.
I
Well,
think
so
that is a cool thing about AI. I mean, it doesn't really replace. You have to be good at prompts to really make AI
you
work
do. Yeah,
for
you can't.
you.
It's
ChatGPT
not
works
going to do it for you. Like you have to try, right? And you have to put in some effort. Well, so Michelle, we've got a few minutes left here, but what I wanted to kind of ask you is, again, if we're thinking about our audiences, kind of high growth privately companies across, a multitude of different industries, what are some tips that you can give, again, these CEOs and these CFOs, and probably even some investors and board members, as if their organization is planning to go through some transformation, whether that's cybersecurity, whether that's internal systems that need to be upgraded, what are some things that they should really think about holistically to kind of help them navigate how to do that best?
Well, I'd actually say, Erica, they're probably already doing a bunch of things. So if they're going to take on more, but even if they aren't, I think they should be asking themselves, do they know how much they're doing right now? Like really understand sort of the spectrum scale, and inventory of things that they're trying to do differently. And there are these big programs. And then ask the question, how are these programs helping with the strategic kind of goals and needs of the organization? Because as soon as you do that, you're like, we're doing some things maybe we don't need to do, and we're not doing some things we should be doing, or we're doing a lot of things. These are all the right things. There's no way we can get them all done. We actually need to think about pacing a little bit differently. And as soon as you do that and you start to get that picture and you have that ongoing conversation, as new things come in, it becomes much easier to say, what's the right time for this? Is it now? And what are the other things that maybe we push a little bit to make room for this and make sure this actually happens? And you've got that. I mean, that's what management is, right? Is kind of moving those pieces. And then there's the leadership that says, we got to make the hard call, because there's going to be a lot of people who aren't going to be happy with their thing maybe getting pushed out or delayed or even canceled because it was important to them and they put a lot of effort into it. But like I said, that's sort of the stepping up from a leadership standpoint and looking across and saying, hey, we may need to actually reprioritize. And I do. I think it's really hard for leaders to prioritize because everything seems important. But as soon as everything being important, then all of a sudden none of it is because there's just too much.
Yeah. And how do executives kind of get everybody on board? Like to your earlier point, when you've got, you know, different folks that are in charge of different initiatives and or pieces of the strategy, right? And they think that theirs is very important and critical, but then you've got to have a like a deal breaker, right? You have to have, you know, the, whether it's the CEO or however the organization is structured, how do they think through that?
Well, I mean, number one, it becomes a lot easier if you've set out sort of your strategy and what things are important, right? Because now you can rack and stack of this right. Helps us get what we're trying to do. And if we don't get that done, we're not going to get there versus the other things nice to have. Yes, they're important, but it's not helping catapult us. But I think the other thing is creating that consistency of what is your governance approach, right? If everybody has to follow a certain path of showing what the business case is, the ROI, the timing, and they're going through that process and they know everyone else is, then you start to have the trust of, hey, leadership is thinking this through and they're being thoughtful. And it's not just whoever had the best story or the best relationship with so-and-so. It's really what's best for the business. And at the end of the day, everybody does want, I should hope everybody wants what's best for the business. So then it becomes a little easier. Like you may not like it, but you understand the decision. And I think that's the other key point of communication, right? If it just goes into a vacuum, decisions made, and there's no explanation,
there's no why.
No, that doesn't feel great. And you're not going to have people on board. But if you understand the explanation, if you see what the other priorities are, if you get feedback of when that might be a priority or how to think about it to make it more of a priority, then people, they're all going to get on board because they're trying to move the organization in the same direction. But it starts with creating clarity of what that direction is or when that direction changes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Which means a lot.
Communication is key. And I think what you said earlier in terms of really having that trust, right, within that team, however large or however small it is, right, you have that trust that everyone is kind of working towards the same overall goals and objectives. So that makes a lot of sense. Well, Michelle, thank you so much for coming back and sharing your experience. I know our audience really benefits from it, and I appreciate you taking the time.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you, Erica.
Thanks, Michelle. We'll be calling you again, so don't go too far.
All right, I'll try not to.
Okay, thanks.
Right, have a great day.
Thanks, you too. Thanks, Michelle.
Thank you for listening to KPMG's Privately Speaking podcast, and be sure to subscribe to this series to be notified of new episodes.